Thank you, Pastor. It's great to be here. Praise the Lord. Do you ever ask yourself, is God enjoying my praise? After all, we're supposed to be praising Him. We're not here to enjoy whether we're praising. That's great. It's important for us to know where our focus is and to understand that God enjoys our praise. The Bible says He dwells in our praise, in the praises of His people. So as we lift our voices, we've got to be thinking to ourselves, He is the audience. We're the ones that are ministering to Him. Praise God. This morning, I want to talk to you about overcoming blockages from hearing from God as one aspect of the gifts of the Spirit. We need to appreciate that God is always communicating to us, always. The Bible says the word of the Lord endures forever, and that literally means that God is always talking, and what He is saying has creative power within it. And God is communicating that to us this morning. And so I would love to think that none of you go home without hearing God communicating with you, and that you are able to say, well, yeah, I didn't hear just what Rob said, I heard what God said, and that's important. So, not coming through. I'm turned on. There we are. So, if you want to record something rather than just scribbling it down, just take a photo of the screen up there and use technology to your advantage. God is always speaking, but the word of the Lord endures forever, means continual, alive, and expectant. God's word, if you like, is pregnant with possibilities. And as His word, as we read His word, great reason for reading the Bible, that you get inspiration as His word speaks to you and forms within you what His word is promising to you. So once God speaks, He doesn't change His mind. And we need to understand that, because if He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, He hasn't changed His mind. He's believing that each one of us will go into the world and proclaim the gospel to those who are around us so that they might know the truth that sets them free. And God actually says in Isaiah chapter, I think it's 54 or 55, there He talks about the water cycle. Who knows they did the water cycle at school? You know, the rain comes down from heaven and waters the earth and then goes down the rivers into the sea or the lakes and so forth, then evaporates back up and becomes clouds which come back over the mountains and go round through the cycle again. And that's what the Bible says. He said, that's the way my word is. It goes forth out of my mouth, and it will not return to me without accomplishing the thing for which I sent it. So when we hear God speaking to us, we can believe that God intends to accomplish something either in us, through us, or around us. And He's going to cause that word to complete its cycle, just like electricity has to be connected back, otherwise it doesn't function. That's why people sometimes get electrocuted, because they complete the cycle. And God reveals from our perspective. He explains the spiritual realm through the natural realm. Many times we read in the Bible, Jesus spoke in parables. And you know, that was very important, because people remember stories. They remember stories. The stories become the peg or the nail on which they hang the truth. And so it's important when God is speaking to us, and He might show you a picture. He may put a thought in your mind, or He may make you feel or sense something. And he's doing that as the means by which you will then investigate, what's that picture about? What's that thought about? What's that feeling that I'm experiencing? And then as you look at it from the natural perspective, so you will understand the spiritual. You see, everything is based, every natural thing is based on the Spirit Word of God. The Word came first, and God created that which was. But you see, from our perspective, we're underneath looking up, as it were, and we have to understand it from a natural perspective first, then we perceive the spiritual truth. In 1 Corinthians, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. I wonder how many of you have ever done written conversation, or some people call it dialogue with God. Anybody ever done that? You know, there's one up there. You write a letter to God, and as you write the letter, thoughts come into your mind, so you change the colour of your pencil, or if you're doing it on a computer, change the font, and you actually write down what you are sensing, hearing, or becoming aware of what God is communicating to you. So some people have done it. They just do that, and that helps us to become aware of God communicating to us if we do that. I thought I brought all those titles down, but we're still in heavenly places, praise the Lord. How the natural realm works. This is the water cycle that I mentioned earlier. I'm getting ahead of myself. And that's how God says his word works. First the natural, then the spiritual, Isaiah 55:10. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter which I sent it. Is that a good promise? And it's a good thing to keep reminding ourselves, because often we read the word and we, our hearts long for that word to come to pass. We really want it to come to pass, but if we understand that God's word is coming to us, so it will come to pass, then we're able, you know, we were singing a little earlier on, how we were singing that by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. It's a finished work. As far as God's concerned, it's accomplished at the cross. But the fact is, are we plugged into that cycle? Are we ready to receive that healing in our own bodies? As far as hearing from God is concerned, many times we have to prime the pump. You've got to put some water into the pump before it will suck up water from the well. Now, I know that this modern age, some of the modern pumps actually self-priming, but I've got a pump. It's about this big, sort of would sit on this lectern. You have to put water into it. Make sure that the water in it, you can't run it dry. Otherwise, you'll do damage to the pump. And spiritually speaking, we need to understand that we need to reach out. God doesn't always come and confront us with his word. Most of the time, he expects us to seek him. And we need to be reaching out to God so that we can actually receive from him. And we prime the pump by reaching out to him. God uses our imagination, and some people get a little bit uncomfortable when I talk about using your imagination, but God gives dreams and visions, and that's examples of him using our imagination. Our imagination has been sanctified through the cross. Now, that's not to say that as Christians we never use our imagination in a bad way. It's simply to say that as far as God is concerned, he's done everything possible for your imagination to be available to him, to be sanctified. That word sanctified means to be set apart for his use. And every part of your life belongs to God, including your imagination. We need to, that scripture there, 1 Corinthians 6:19 says that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We're purchased with a price. And God is wanting us to invite the Holy Spirit to take control of our redeemed imagination. And, you know, if that makes you feel uncomfortable, well, you need to read the word a bit more until it becomes comfortable. God is working in us all the while. I love that scripture in the Amplified where it says, he's all the while effectually at work in us. He's having an effect in our lives. And that effect can be fruitful in our lives as we step out and take hold of it. Except what God puts into your mind is from him. Now, Jeremiah, God had to teach him how to be a prophet. He said, I've created you with the purpose of being a prophet. From before the foundation of the world, God had a plan for each one of us. And Jeremiah also was included in that plan. And God wants us to outwork the plan that we have in our life, that God has placed in our life. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes into our life when we're born again, when you're born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit begins to activate that plan that God has in our life. However, our humanity many times gets in the road and says, no, I don't want to do that. And God is, you know, sort of working in us to change us from glory to glory and to change us into the image of Jesus, to accomplish what Jesus wants for us. He's working in us to do that, to bring about forming Jesus in us. Galatians 2:20, and it says there, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, in this fleshly body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm living his life. That's what he wants to accomplish. That's what he paid the price at the cross to accomplish in our lives, that his life might outwork itself in us. The Holy Spirit speaks ordinary. Now, I preached this message in a church down in the Gippsland, and a lady came up to me afterwards and she said, when you said the Holy Spirit speaks ordinary, it really struck a chord in me. You see, God doesn't speak King James English. In fact, he doesn't necessarily speak any particular language. But he speaks to us, and we understand what he says in our own vernacular, in our own dialect, or whatever that we might want to call it. God speaks your language. And when he communicates with you, you know, there might be people here that speak other languages than English. And God can speak to them as they listen in the language, their own mother tongue. And we might be hearing in our mother tongue, and God is speaking to them in a different language, but they're hearing the same message. And we need to appreciate the Holy Spirit speaks ordinary. Your dialect, your vernacular. The world is waiting for us to demonstrate God's ability. They're never going to see it the way we can see it, because we've been made alive. But as we step out and we demonstrate the gifts of the Spirit, you know, you see somebody that's limping and, you know, you're waiting in the line at the supermarket or whatever, and in Bunnings or whatever, and you go up to them and say, is that painful that you're limping there? And they say, oh, yeah, I did this and that and the other thing. And you say, would you like me to pray for you? Some people say, no, thanks, and go on their way limping. And other people will might think, well, what have I got to lose? And they let you pray for them. And God can do a miracle. And that's what God wants. The world is waiting for the sons of God to begin to do what the sons of God were intended to. You might say, why should I bother to hear from God? Romans 8:18, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that has been revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. That's not just only talking about eternity. The world won't be there observing that in eternity, but they're observing now. And if we allow the Spirit of God to work through us, and you see, we come to church to practice when we use the gifts of the Spirit. It's safe in the home meeting, in the meeting on Sunday. It's a safe place for us to practice using the gifts of the Spirit. And we need to be practicing so that we can go out into the world and we can be having an impact out there in the world. We can be accomplishing the works of God. There are three gateways through which God communicates. At least 15 times in the Bible, it mentions the three gateways through which God communicates to us. God speaks to us. Somebody said, oh, is that Prince Charles? What we need to understand from that picture, I asked a friend of mine who draws cartoons if he could draw this picture, because, you see, the emphasis is on the ears, on listening. God is always talking, but are we hearing him? God is always communicating, but are we receiving those communications? Are we open to receive them? And we need to open our ears, the ears of our heart, to hear God communicating. So the second way in which God communicates, as I mentioned earlier, was through the visual, the auditory, the visual, and the tactile. God communicates in these three ways. And we can learn, we can develop, we can sharpen these things through practice and becoming aware that God is talking to us. God is always talking. He's always got something to say. What he's saying to us is relevant, and we need to hear it. And we need to sharpen that capacity continually. The Apostle John says in 1 John 1:1, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes and looked at, and touched with our hands concerning of the word of life, we declare to you. You see, this is just one of those 15 instances of Jesus speaking through the Apostle John. I'm telling you what I've seen, what I've heard, and what I've experienced. And I want you to be able to do the same. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but just as it is written, the things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those that love him. So you see, Paul is actually doing a quote from what Moses said to the people of Israel. You've got eyes to see, but you don't see. You don't see into the spiritual realm. You've got ears to hear, but you don't listen. And he said, you've got a heart to understand, but you're not understanding. It starts with an attitude, our attitude. And as we focus on God, as we listen to him, and as we see what he's showing to us, our lives can become changed. As I travel from church to church over the last 11 years, we have seen God speak to people through the prophetic word, making an impact, changing people's lives, because God knows what's going on in their lives. I don't have a clue. And sometimes I'll say something to them by the Spirit of God, and their lives are radically changed as a result. I was in one church over in South Australia, and as I was sharing with the people working up my way along the line, I said to this guy, "Do you know what a grain elevator is?" And he said, "Yes, I know what they are." He said, "I work for a company that makes them." He said, "And I paint them." I said, "Well, that's what I'm seeing in my mind's eye right now." And then God began to unwrap for him a message. Now, he hadn't seen that sort of thing happening. And so he was really awake, because I was talking about the very thing that he worked on 5 days a week. The next fellow, to him, I said, "Look, I'm seeing a motor, a car motor." And I said, "What I'm understanding the Holy Spirit is telling me is that if you assemble a car motor and you don't allow for tolerance, allow a little bit of slap in the motor, when you get it all together and you start it up, it's going to seize up." And then I said, "You're putting so much pressure on yourself. You're like that motor, and you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself. And as a result, you know, if you don't stop doing that, you're going to have a breakdown." And he said, "Wow." He said, "I own the local auto pro shop." God knew where he was itching, knew where to scratch it, and he got the message. Praise God. And God does that frequently. I'm not saying that every message is going to be like that, but I'm simply saying God directs us, and he can direct you. You see, I'm doing these things not just to impress you with how wonderful God is. I'm doing it so that you can learn to do it too. That's the object of me going around doing this. Train the saints to do the work of ministry. Some say, "Oh, I don't get anything." Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So get a picture of Jesus in your mind. Then ask him, "What do you want to talk about, Lord? What do you want to discuss with me, Lord?" You see, we need to use that faculty that God has built into us, that ability to imagine Jesus. Now, your picture of Jesus might be different from my picture of Jesus. That's not a problem. What's important is, are we actually seeing Jesus? As we step out in faith, it says he's the author and perfecter of our faith. So he's enabling us to see him, even through the means of our imagination. Jesus promised, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father." Now, lots of people say, "Well, really, I'd really like to have those greater works." Well, what about doing the works that he does? Okay, let's start where we are. Begin, and then we can move on to the greater works when we get there. I'm still working on the things that he did. Jesus was able to use the gifts of the Spirit. Jesus saw Nathanael in a mini vision. When Philip said to Nathanael, "Come and see a man that we believe's the Messiah." And Nathanael said to Jesus, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Jesus had a little picture in his mind of Nathanael. So when Nathanael actually appeared, Jesus recognized that picture that he'd seen in his mind's eye. He said, "Oh, this is the man. This is the one." And spoke to Nathanael, and Nathanael was staggered. How do you think people would feel if you said to them, "Oh, I saw you the other day"? And they say, "Oh, where did you see me?" And you said, "Such and such and so and so." Wow, their jaw's going to drop down. Because, you see, that's what gets their attention. And God intends us to work like this. Do you think working like this will make evangelism easier? Because you've got their attention right away. You don't have to go through the four spiritual laws or anything else. You've got their attention. And this is the way Jesus wants us to witness, to be able to communicate him to the world around us. How I started, a quickened word, I called it. I was talking to somebody and I realized that what I was saying wasn't just from my natural mind, it was from God. I just said it and then reflected and thought, wow, that's from God. Or an unbidden word. It just popped out of my mouth. I didn't even premeditate it. How many of you experienced that? You know, you just suddenly find you, oh, it's popped out of your mouth. And sanguines are very good at that. And sometimes they say things that they haven't put their mind into gear yet. You know, and that's the sort of result. Awareness or knowing. You feel or become aware of something, a pain, a fact, a problem. In a person, you know, I was preaching one time and I was talking about having pain and I was sort of acting it out a little bit, and as I acted it out, the Holy Spirit said to me, "What you're doing right now, somebody sitting in this congregation is experiencing." So I stopped my preaching and I said, "Somebody here has just what I've described, pain in your back." And there was a fellow about three rows back, and he was working for the SEC in those days, the State Electricity Commission, and he'd hurt his back, and they'd actually retired him out of his job because of his back. And by now he was over 65, so if he got healed, it wouldn't matter. He got healed that night. He got so excited when I said, "If you'll come up now, I'll pray for you. God's going to heal you." You see, when God reveals things through the word of knowledge like that, God intends to use some of the other gifts of the Spirit. The gift of faith that we're going to need to believe for that person to be healed. The gift of healing for that person to receive their healing or miracle. And he was healed. Praise God. Made an amazing impact on him. A situation. Sometimes we actually sense a situation. And God can do these things. You are created to do these things. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them." There's no counterfeits. As far as God is concerned, he speaks the truth. He said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." This is one of the 15 scriptures. Ask, seek, and knock. "Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf or a piece of bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish?" Now, have you ever seen a fish like that? It's a real fish. And it's called a lamprey. And that's the sort of fish that Jesus was talking about. They are in the Jordan River, in Lake Galilee, in the Jordan River. And he said, if he asks for a fish, will he not give him a snake, or he will not give him a snake, will he? See the similarity? Jesus is talking about counterfeit. He's not going to give you a counterfeit. He's going to give you the real thing. And if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, what does it say? Let's read this bit together. How much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those that ask him? You see, God wants us to have the real, not a counterfeit, not something cooked up by the devil. He wants us to get the real thing. And so he's not going to let the devil. The devil's not powerful enough to do that. God is powerful enough to make sure that you're going to get the real thing. So as you reach out and expect God to speak to you, expect it. Receive it. Because God is communicating to you and he wants you to experience his voice. Now this morning, we're going to take a few moments, and if you've got a phone or a piece of paper, a pencil or something like that, you can jot down, or if you can just sit there this morning and say, okay, God, what do you want to say to me now? Now, some of you are looking at me a little bit perplexed, but let me say, if you'll do this, if you're born again, God wants to talk to you. He said, my sheep, hear my voice. Sometimes it's that thought coming into your mind. Sometimes it comes as a picture. Sometimes it comes through we experience something, we feel something. So just take a few moments now and do that.
Some of you, what I'm saying is familiar to you. You already do this. But let me suggest to you that we need to do it more. We need to do it constantly. When we're shopping, maybe, you know, Liz has a story she says and tells about how that she was going into Target, and as she walked past the door, there was a display of cheaper things that they were getting rid of, and there was this rack of tops, and she looked at that rack, and there was a top that she rather fancied, and she said to the Lord, well, it's only $5. So that's a pretty good price, Lord. Should I get it? And she felt like the Holy Spirit said to her, my daughter, I want you to have this top. You can afford it. Get it. I want you to feel like a princess. And you know, we can have these conversations with God. Really ordinary things. Frequently. Constantly. The more you do it, the more you'll do it. So this morning, I trust, how many of you got something, you felt God was communicating something? I'm not going to ask you to tell us. Okay, that's good. For those of you that didn't, well, maybe you just need a little quiet space where you can sit and contemplate and just listen for God to speak to you, to show you, to tell you, to let you experience what he wants to communicate to you. And to do it frequently is really God's intention. He wants to do this all the time. Sometimes he has to shake us a bit. I've heard of people approaching a group. you know, God cares about us. And he's not only wanting to let the world know about himself, he wants us as his children to experience that confidence.